For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same into it in his teeth. And from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, Elishama Shabbat. Banana. And that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is not a Easter message. Easter is just a special time of celebration. But the power of the cross is a message for every day. By the grace of God today, I want to preach a very important message. If there is no death, there is no resurrection. If there is no death, there is no resurrection. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, we thank you for the power and the authority of this great and powerful day today. We thank you for the Holy Ghost today. We thank you for the truth of the Word of God today. We thank you for the power of heaven and of earth today. And we give you glory. We honor and we give greatness unto thy mighty and holy name today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. In the realm of the eternal, it is no doubt that it is definitely a different abode than the earthly. When I talk about the eternal, I'm referring to the realm of the spirit. The scriptures tell us that the angels desire to look into salvation because salvation is something they don't understand. They don't understand salvation. And the reason why they don't understand salvation is because salvation was never presented to them. It was never presented to them. And I have my speculations on the reasons why I believe that it was not presented to them. I really believe that it was not presented to them because they were created in the very presence of God. And when they took up rebellion, they took up that rebellion in the very presence of God. In other words, they knew and had a knowledge of who they were rebelling against. That's not the same situation that we as human beings deal with. The Bible tells us that we're born and conceived in iniquity. We're already born outside of the presence of God. And because we're born upon a earth, and we have to deal with the position of birth and eventually death. not a pretty word. It's not a welcoming word. Not a welcoming word. But it's a very realistic situation, because as we have knowledge of it, only according to the scriptures, there's only been two men that ever escaped. And that was only because of the power of God. It's not a nice word. But it's a word of reality. And unfortunately, whether you realize it or not, it's also something that eventually you must look forward to. Unless the Lord comes and pulls us and takes us into an eternal situation. I talk about it because of the fact is, I don't think sometimes that we have come to the position of, in our everyday circumstances, that we are, everyone is always looking for that perfect time and space. We always want to come and live in the place of that comfort zone that we've been trying to establish for so many years. Am I right? Everyone in here is looking for a comfort zone. And you're doing everything in your power to put it together and to package it and to make it work and make it happen in your life. Whatever your comfort zone is, every individual has its own position of what they, everyone has their own position of what the ideal lifestyle they should have. It's not one of us that don't, that we don't think about that particular time and place. What would be the perfect situation? And of course, we live a lifelong life that people, from the time that they're born, or I should say from a time of physical maturity, or a time of understanding, to the time that they die, continue to strive just for that. But you know, in life, if we're going to live life to the fullest, we have to deal with the transitions of life. And we are habitual creatures. We don't like change. Am I right? We like our routine. Even though it's not the perfect situation, we like it that way. Because our routine helps us to assume that we're on a goal that we can attain and possibly reach. And of course, naturally, in dealing with life and dealing with the transitions of life, if we're really reaching for something that's real and something that really has substance, then we have to really deal with transition. We don't like that. When Jesus came, He came with a purpose. He didn't come here to live his life the way he wanted to, the way people would want to live it. It was not. He had a purpose. He had a mission to accomplish. And that mission that he came to accomplish was very important, because it wasn't. It wasn't really a mission that would add anything to him. The only thing it would add to him is the glory of your worship, the glory of your thanksgiving, the glory of your praise. I want you to listen to me today, because God's dealing with every one of you in some type of position of transition, and you're standing there and you're attempting to beat it back into shape. Am I right? Because you don't want to move out of your comfort zone. Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. If there is no death, there is no resurrection. There is no resurrection. In other words, if you maintain your situation in the same situation that you're in, you have nothing to look forward to. You have nothing to look forward to. And so it's very important that we look back at the cross. First of all, I think, let's turn to Luke chapter 22. I want to establish something here. Luke chapter 22 and verse 41. And he said, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Now, here is Jesus, God manifested in the flesh, enjoying his position of comfort in his own way. I really believe what the Lord was really struggling with? He was really struggling with leaving the disciples. He was really struggling with leaving the people or leaving her in the flesh, just in the flesh. But he knew that that lamb, that flesh, was the Lamb of God. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. But yet, in his perfection, and only in the perfection of himself, he struggled. And the reason why he struggled is because he didn't have sin. See, if you're not guilty of anything, it's hard for you to take on a position that you didn't do. It's very difficult, especially if you're not guilty. So here's the Lord in his guiltlessness, accepting the cross for all of humanity. He's accepting the cross from those who begun back in the days of Adam, all the way to the end of humanity, or the end of the age. The Lord is accepting the cross. The Bible tells us that he died for every sin, past, present, and future. The weight of humanity is rested upon his shoulders. And here he comes to a position to accept the fullness of his mission. Not easy, even for God. Even for God, it wasn't easy. But even for God, it wasn't pretty. So we look at, go 22 and 41. Put it up there. I want them to see it. We got to have scripture up here. Put 42 up there. Go to 43. Thank you. And there appeared an angel unto him to give him strength from heaven and strengthen him. And go to 44. And being in agony, he prayed earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood and falling down to the ground. Do you realize the agony and pressure that he was in order to fulfill his mission? Do you realize that if there was no Gethsemane, there would not have been Calvary? because he was God. And what he would have done, and probably what he would have done, if he didn't go through this agony to break the will of his flesh to live, he probably would have judged man then. But he came for a mission. He came for a mission. Is this pretty? Does it look good? Does this relate to positive thinking? That makes sense. You know why? Because when you're really dying and you're really going through something, it's not pretty. It's not a pretty sight. It doesn't appear to be pretty to anyone because you're going through stages of transition. And as you deal with those stages of transition, it is difficult for you to deal with. It is not something that's common to you because you're being pushed out of your comfort zone. And here's Jesus, after 3.5 years with the disciples, 33 and some years upon the face of the earth, and now, in all of the needs and all of the things that he's seen that the people would need in the flesh upon the face of the earth, he would have to continue on with the mission. It never said that the mission and the transitions in the mission were easy or even pretty. You see, the popcorn lifestyle we live in? That's why people can feed the church and feed people in the church that all you have to do is have a positive attitude. Remember, the name of Jesus is not a magic wand situation. The name of Jesus has a position of suffering that goes with it. Amen. Not a magic wand situation. And it's not always pretty. And it's not always, well, you know, here's the thinking of humanity. The thinking of humanity and the thinking really of the church is he did it all on Calvary. Yes, he did it all on Calvary. He did. He paved the way that you can have the power through the blood of Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Ghost to make it through that same way. He never said it was going to be easy. He never said the transitions of your life are supposed to be laid down and handed to you. He never made that. He never promised that. You never heard him promise that. You never heard him promise that you just smile and just keep on going through. Because a lot of things that happen in your life, you can't smile about. You're not happy about. You feel as though you're being mistreated and different enfranchised. Am I correct? Because transition is not an easy situation. But without transition and without death, there is no resurrection. You can't be resurrected unless you die first. And death is not a pretty situation. It's not a pretty situation. We don't smile in the face of death and just say, well, you know, I just feel great. I just feel wonderful. Hit me again. Praise God. Let's turn back to Matthew 27. I want to show you something. 29. I'm going to start from 29. 27 and 27. And then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole bands of the soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. Did it sound like that he was having a good day? Did it sound like that he was having a good day? Did you believe that he was all smiles and that life was easy? And that I'm here fulfilling the mission and I got a smile on my face. Didn't sound like he was having a good day. It's not a good day when somebody take you in and strip you of your clothes. Not a good day. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to bring everyone to the reality of life. The reality of everyday life. You have to deal with the reality of life. The reality of life every day is not a pretty situation. There are struggles and transitions that you have to deal with. There are circumstances that will come your way that will not be a pretty situation, but they will lead you to a better way. And this runs to every individual. I don't care whether you're saved or unsaved. It's not true. It's not true. If God had a bad day, and several bad days, who are you to have good days? Why does your transition have to be smooth? How many transitions can you take with a smile on your face? How many times are you grumpy, irritable, mad, misled? Am I making sense? Because I'm dealing with the reality of life. Because in the reality of life, you're not smiling every day. It's not funny every day. Praise God. Not funny every day. That's not saying that you don't trust God. That's not saying that you're not prayerful. That's not saying that the Lord's not on your mind. But you're struggling with life. You're struggling with life. Then we go on. Verse 29. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they planted a crown of thorns on his head. Jammed them on his head. That don't sound like a good day to me. That don't sound like he was having a good time. They grabbed him on his head, a reed in his right hand, and they bowed their knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews, thou sayest," and they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that, they had mocked him. They took the robe off of him, put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. As they came out, they found a man, a Cyrenian, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear the cross. And when they were come unto a place of Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink and mingle with God. Vinegar to drink. How many times do you want somebody to water it down for you? Make it easy for me. I don't want to feel full impact of it. Huh? That's why I didn't mix vinegar with God. Take some. I guess they call it being merciful. But he wanted to feel the full impact of the cross. That's how great a sacrifice that the Lord had given. And they crucified him and parted his garments and cast lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the prophet, and they parted my garments among them, and so on and so forth. And let me drop down here. And then it goes on in 46. It says, and now at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out a loud cry, saying, and in an interpretation of what he said, that is saying, now listen, I want you to hear what he said. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now here is the flesh of God relating to the spirit. Because as he gave up the ghost, I mean, at this point, he felt the complete emptiness because he bore the entire weight of sin of humanity. And God is separate from sin. So here is the flesh of Jesus on the cross feeling forsaken. Brother Pendergrass? You ever felt forsaken from God?
He hasn't forsaken.
Amen? You ever felt forsaken? Now, if Jesus felt forsaken, come on, y'all. Do you know what it's like to feel forsaken by God? It's one thing when a human is forsaken. You can already replace that with someone else. Huh? Am I right? But when God forsakes you, oh man. Think about it. Was Jesus having a good day? No, sir. That wasn't a good day. Not the way we understand it. Amen. It wasn't a great day. But it was a needed day. It was an important day. It was a transitional day. It was a day that must have took place, because if it didn't take place, we would not be enjoying what we're enjoying today. Understand. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. I felt forsaken before. I'm not ashamed to say that. But just because I felt forsaken didn't mean I didn't trust God. And you know what? You can't feel forsaken if you don't have faith in God anyway. Because the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. Verse 47, it says, and some of them that stood before when they had heard that, and that said that this man calleth Elias, and straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on the reed and gave it to him to drink. And the rest said, let us, whether Elias will come or to save him. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Praise God. The veil of the temple, the veil had two oxen that you could put on each and walk separate ways, could not split in half. From the bottom up, they couldn't split in half. But when Jesus died on Calvary's cross, that veil and the holies of holies split from the top down. And that means that it was open. Praise God. It was open. Hallelujah. It's open. Come on in. Come on in. It's open. If there was no death, there would be no resurrection. And behold, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. And many of the bodies and the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. Praise God. Hades had been busted wide open. The Lord had liberated everyone, set them free. But the question is death pretty? Is death pretty? No. But is death a necessity? Yes. That's what people struggle with. There's people in here right now that are struggling with their need for God. They know inside that they need God, but they won't surrender themselves to God. Am I right? They won't surrender. Because why? Because to surrender yourself to God, it takes a certain death. And death doesn't feel good. There's one day I had to come to that understanding that I needed God. And I had to give up my pride. I had to give up my good looks. They were looking at me like, oh my Lord, help this man, please. I had to give up everything that I was all made of. I mean, I thought I was all that in a bag of chips. I was a bag of fries without the Happy Meal. Amen. I had to give all that up. Because why? Because God was dealing with me, and there was a time of transition. And so all of a sudden, I felt death. I felt as though, what's going on here? What's happening in my life? What's taking place? Why is God, if there is a God, why is he allowing this to take place? And why is he allowing this to happen? I need to stay in my comfort zone. And the Lord was trying to bring me to a place that he could add to my life. Because sin was taken away from me. So in order for me to be resurrected, I had to die to sin. I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad that I died to sin. I'm so glad that the Lord brought me to a place to challenge my heart and my life to let me not go continue on the lifestyle I was living. Because I wasn't even close to a bag of French fries without a Happy Meal. I thought I was, but I wasn't even close to it. That's how wasteful my life was. So if you feel some disparity in your life right now, about your service or your lack of service to God, it's because the Lord is trying to create something in your life. And of course, our agenda will not allow it to happen. Amen? I can't do that. I can't worship like them. Well, of course you can't worship like me. Because you ain't been saved yet. But once you get the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, amen, I don't care how old you are. I don't care what your age is. I don't care whether you're young and you're 79 years old. You're going to feel good about what the Lord has done in your life. Because you died out to the life that you were involved in. Oh, man, come on. Come on, Lord. Let me ask somebody a personal question. Everybody. You know why the Lord is so involved in trying to change your life? Some of you that sit here and look at me all the time or know me, think that it's me trying to change your life. Am I right? Some would think that because I know you. Because I have knowledge of you. Well, it's the Lord that's trying to change your life through me because he loves you. He loves you. So he takes you through those places to where he can bring you in and bring a resurrection of life in your life to help you. It don't feel good. It don't feel good. It's not supposed to feel good. It's not supposed to feel good. Have you ever seen anybody who was dying that was not trying to fight to live? You know, that's a big struggle. People want to live. Is that something wrong with that? Nothing wrong with that. I mean, what does the Lord have to do? What does he have to do? What translation? Here's what I'm trying to explain to you. Whether or not you want to accept what I'm saying or not, life will gonna bring you to transitions anyway. You're not going to duck transition. How you going to duck it? Is anybody in here the same age they were 10 years ago? Huh? Now, Brother Lance, how old are you now? 36 years old. Now, you wish you felt like you did when you were 26, don't you? what we would do to change. But what happened? Transition took us this way. From 36 to 26, now I'm 55. Now, you know what? I can't even remember what I felt like at 26. You know, people ask, when you get that age, you will think about that. You will. You will say, hold it. I don't remember. I know I felt better than what I feel now. But I was a lot dumber than I was now. Amen? Praise God. So when the Lord broke up my life and broke me up, he gave me a little wisdom. What did that? Transition. Change. Change did that. If I'm still talking from the ideology and the thought pattern that I was when I was 26 or 27, then I didn't go anywhere in life. Life had brought no, I have no experiences to lean upon. What was I doing in all those years? But I had to deal with some things. Everybody in here, no matter what scale of life that you're on, you had to deal with something. You had to deal with transition. Our children deal with transition. All the time. All the time. I really believe and think that our society is so poisoned that every day we live in such a shallowness we are so robbed from not being able to deal with life the way God would have us to deal with it. That's why I can see the difference between what God intended life for us to be compared to what we have in life. Because our life is so shallow. Yes, God wanted us to have a simple life. He didn't want us out here struggling, working every day, doing what we're doing, so on and so forth. But sin brought that along. So we got to go to work. He wasn't going to take us to the graveyard. We're supposed to live with him eternally. But of course, we had to go through the transitions of life because of sin. Now, you might not want to face that. And the reason why you might not want to face it is because you might not want to face the sin in your life. But let me tell you something. The wages of sin is death. The wage of sin is death. I don't care whether you're saved, unsaved, who you are. The wage of sin is death. Do you realize that just ignoring God is sin? Just ignoring the power of God in your life is a sin. Just ignoring what God's trying to do and what he's attempting to do, because he's giving you ample opportunity, ample options and different things to work it out. But no, God, I can't do it now. I got to hold on. It's a sin against God. And that sin will destroy you. That sin will take you down. That sin will trap you. And instead of you going through a wave of transition, you'll go to the spiritual graveyard. I look at our children, and I think all the time, how in the world are they going to make it in this society? Jesus, I don't understand. It's a scary thought. I mean, I'm serious. If you know what, if this does not cross your mind, then you are deceived. I'm telling you, if this is not, this crosses my mind on a daily basis. If you do not see this, you are deceived. You are totally deceived. You are totally, I'm being honest with you. You are out of touch. You're so far in the world, you're not separated. You're not, I'm going to be honest with you. If you don't see it, you're not sanctified. You're not separated. So, because separation brings understanding. And as you begin to understand, you can see, you know, it's one thing about handing them something in their hand and saying, listen, son, I'm going to give you $200,000 to go out and get your education. I might be getting them more involved in the world than taking them away from the world. I might be really destroying them instead of helping them. But now we can't do that. I can't gotta have an education just to they got to have education. I believe in education. But I believe in spiritual education first. They need to know who Jesus is. They need to understand that life is not an easy situation. And if you've got an education, a master's degree, a doctor's degree, that life is going to spin for you. It's not going to spin for you. If it does spin for you, you might be too wrapped up. You might be too wrapped up. Because when God comes knocking at your door, do you realize that there's some people out there in the world that's doing so well in life that God cannot talk to them? And when they meet the position of eternity, they will be met. And you know what? All of what they were, people don't realize, all of what you left will be left at the door of death. And when you walk out there, you'll be naked in the position of eternity. That's the way it is. That's exactly what it is. But we're difficult people. God does everything to get through to us. We're just like the scripture says when the Lord talks about the children of Israel, stiff neck. Stubborn. I'll ask you that question today. Amen. What does the Lord delight in? What does He delight in? Obedience. You know, first of all, you have to believe that it's God that's speaking to you. If you think it's just me speaking to you, then you won't be obedient. I'm gonna say something here. I should say, but I realize that there's some in here that have, over the years, have somewhat develop a personal relationship with me. Your personal relationship with me can be very dangerous to your spiritual walk. I want you to hear me. Your personal relationship with me and how you see me can be very, very dangerous to your spiritual walk. And how you address me. I know some take the liberty to talk to me on first name basis. But you know what? That can tell you something. That that's just the way you see me. That's all you see. That can be very dangerous to your spiritual walk. If I'm just Larry to you, you're in danger. You're in danger. But if I'm your pastor, and I'm your spiritual leader, then God can speak to you. But if that's the way you see me, God can't talk to you. Because what you do is, you'll take all the meat and you'll throw it out. And you ignore what God said to you. That's why sometimes God can't convict someone and bring you under real conviction. Right, man? Amen. I want to be convicted. I want God to deal with my spirit, my soul, my mind. Don't leave me behind. This is a dreadful world, a dreadful situation that we live in. Don't you realize it? But if that's how you see things, unfortunately, in that position, you're being very cardinal-minded. I'm going to be very honest with you. You're being very cardinal-minded. And through your cardinality, whatever you need to receive from God is void. When I open up these scriptures, it's the voice of God that speaks. Amen. Now, if you want to compare what I got to say whatever I say, God will say back to you. Amen. The truth of God's word is the truth of His word. It will never change. Amen. So God, behold, He says, obeying is better than sacrifice, and hearkening better than the fat of rams. So if you pay your tithes, that's good. But that won't save you. Hallelujah. It's obeying the voice of God. That's important. I'm not the only one that needs to obey the voice of God. I need to be able to help you to obey the voice of God. But I've got to present the voice of God to you to give you the opportunity to obey. For rebellion, now listen, for rebellion, listen to it as you look at the word. For rebellion. Now the essence here is the word rebellion. Now put on your thinking cap. Are you in a position of rebellion? Is your lifestyle in a position of rebellion? Are you rebelling against what God's trying to say to you? Do I make sense? That's everybody. Are you rebelling? Now, if you sit there thinking about somebody else's rebellion, then you miss your rebellion. Don't miss your rebellion. Because that other person that you're thinking about can't save you. Nor can they keep you saved. Nor can you save them. Are you in a state of rebellion? Are you rebelling? And it says it's as is equal to the sin of witchcraft. Is equal to witchcraft, rebellion itself. Go ahead, y'all, ask the question yourself. This question answer time. Huh? Don't pat yourself off. I don't want you to pat yourself off, because you pat yourself off, and if you tell yourself you all right, you're in trouble. If you tell yourself, I'm all right, then you know what? Then there's something going to come back and tell you, say, I don't know, brother. Do people come to church to hear the truth, or they want to hear lies? Do you know what I mean? Jesus said, if you are my disciples indeed, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I know a lot of people want to hear lies. And they go to places where churches will feed them lies and tell them what they want to hear. Well, if you're here for that day, you're in the wrong place. Because if God does not challenge you to step up to the plate, then there's probably not a plate before you. There's probably not a plate before you. God challenges every man. Not just at church, but every day. Your salvation is based on a daily situation. Every day God challenges me. When I get out of the bed and when I step up, He said, hey, you going to serve me today? Hallelujah. Sometimes that flesh said, well, huh? Now I better get in here and start praying. Step up to the plate, son. Am I right? But some people in here sitting here today where the flesh answers for you every day. And because the flesh answers for you, it robs you of your experience with God, because you would rather live in your sin than die and be resurrected. Death is a very important thing. You need it. It's important. It's mandatory to life. There's no furtherance of life unless there's death. Let's stand. rebellion is as witchcraft. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Man, I tell you what, some folks are stubborn as they are long. You might not, hey listen, let me tell you something. You might not show me your stubbornness, but I can see when a person's stubborn. And when they will not allow God to change them, I can see it. I can see it in their faith. I can see it in their attitude. I can see it in the words that they say. I can see their stubbornness. For stubbornness is as iniquity. It's idolatry. In other words, when a person is stubborn, you know who they're worshiping? Themselves. What I think. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. That must have been a pretty hard blow for Saul. That makes sense. That was a pretty hard blow. Here I've been king all these years, and this young boy come out with some shepherds, with some sheep, and gain more authority over the kingdom of God than I have. Because I chose to do it my way. Do anybody see some of the things you need to die to? Do anybody see the importance of death and realizing that as you're dying, that it's not going to be pretty? It's not pretty. If you expect good things, and it's going to be exciting, and you're going to be this, that, and the other, it's not going to happen that way. If it didn't happen for Jesus, it will not happen for you. But your death will not be as severe, because the Lord will never give you more than what you can bear. He will never give you more than what you can bear. Some people say, well, I'm about to lose my mind. I've been in there. I know how that feels. And when I get to that point where I feel like I'm going to lose my mind, what comes to my mind? The scriptures. The Holy Ghost comes and comforts me. The Holy Ghost does not come and take away the severity of the trial. He does not take away the severity of the trial, because you've got to get through. Because the only way you're going to get through is and find resurrection is that you've got to get to the other side. He does not change the severity of the trial, because you're in a test period, and it's important that you strive to pass the test. Is it pretty? It don't feel good at all. Don't feel good. Death will never feel good. Don't let nobody fool you and tell you that it's going to feel that way. Amen. I think that the only death that might feel good is that final one when you're ready to go to the before the throne of God. You might be so excited, you might get up and jump and get out the bed and start running. But you know why you feel that way? Because you have died in so many different situations before. Hallelujah. Can I get somebody to play this real quick? Some song. I just feel moved by the Holy Ghost. Thank you, sister. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. And I feel that the Lord is dealing with our hearts and our souls and our minds today. And before I end this service, I want to give you an ample opportunity to come to the throne of God and to really give thought about what the Lord has said today. Altar's open.